September 16th, Sunday morning.
15th.
Is it? 1-5.
Oh, 50. Ahead of myself. Somebody wants to pray?
Oh, yes, Lord. By your Spirit. That your presence would be here today, O Lord. And that you would grant to us ears to hear. Ears to hear, O Lord, your truth, O Lord. That it would come forth, that it would flow. We ask, O Jesus, that there would be a flow of your Spirit, Lord, unencumbered by our own ideas and thoughts and whatever. But Lord, cause those things to be disappear, dissolve, whatever, Lord, that we would be vessels of your truth, vessels of your light, O Lord, vessels of your love. Oh, do that sweet, sweet work by your Spirit, Lord. It's a supernatural work. There's nothing natural that would bring that stuff about. But we ask for that. We ask for that supernatural work to be done, and that it would be done in our lives and done in the service here today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I told Ken and Charlotte a little while ago, I said, this morning I've been to HSBC. You guys have been there too.
The Holy Spirit.
But the Bible.
Okay.
It has to be the Bible, or it's not.
Yeah.
It's not worth being there.
No.
Right.
But I heard a scripture, and I thought for the life of me, it didn't make any sense. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 30. And it just caught me as I heard it on the, on the, whatever day that I listen to. What do I listen to?
I don't know.
What do you call that?
A digital device.
Yeah. Is that what it is? But here's what it says. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. And I have been puzzled over that for about a week. And I thought, what is the difference? He will justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. And then I think I'm beginning to get it. You know, in Hebrews 11, 3, it says, through faith, why didn't it say by faith? Through faith, we understand. And then in the beginning of Hebrews, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And so, and in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it goes on to tell about different ones like Noah. Mm-hmm. And it says, by faith, Noah built this ark. But it also says in there that he built this for the saving or the salvation of his family. Somehow, that's what it says. Mm-hmm. Whereby there were eight, is that, are you reading it?
Uh-huh. Prepared an ark for the saving of his house.
Yeah, and so let's go to the scripture then. It says, "Faith is a evidence of things not seen. There never had been a flood.
Right.
There never been water enough for this great big boat to be built. All of his friends all of the people that he knew, friends or otherwise, were all sitting there watching him, and they're scoffing at it, and they're ridiculing it." And he, 100 years. 100 years he's building on this thing, and nobody's in agreement. They've never ever heard of any reason that he should build it. There'll never be that much water anywhere there to warrant it. But there's a scripture. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And that applied to Noah. He's working on this thing, and day after day after day after day after day. Okay? Well, faith, I begin to realize, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you know what that is telling us? Faith is a long-range substance. In both cases, it's long range. It's not. There is a gift of faith, which means that, you know, somebody may have faith for some reason. There it is. God gives them faith. But it's also, faith is a lifestyle. It's something you become somehow. And I come to the realization, you know, remember the story of where Jesus told of Abraham and the rich man? And the rich man said, have Lazarus rise from the dead and go and see my family, and they'll believe. And Abraham said, if they don't believe, or if they won't read and get what Moses had to say and the prophets, they wouldn't believe if somebody was risen from the dead. And you know what? Neither will we. Mm. There's only one thing that God has given us that will cause us to believe and to have faith. There it is. Faith comes by hearing, not by the Word of God. That's the only thing that will cause it. And that could have been the same case even with the Old Testament. It's not necessarily limited to the New Testament. You know what I'm saying? The Word of God is brought about. God sent it in such a way that it will cause faith to the hearer. And the thing that is required by faith is an ongoing lifestyle that faith creates. Do you follow me? What I'm saying? Or that the Word of God creates. And that's called faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I mean, it's all long range. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, having to do with Romans 3:30, where it says the circumcision were justified by faith, and the uncircumcision, which is the Gentiles is what it's talking about, were justified through faith. And so it's either way. I mean, the circumcision were supposedly had this ongoing relationship with the Word of God, which would cause them to be, you know, bona fide believers. But the Gentiles, the uncircumcision, through the working of, especially the New Testament, by the working of the New Testament, it would bring us to a place where we would be justified through faith, because it's an ongoing thing. That's not necessarily the answer to Romans 3:30. I brought it up because I wanted somebody to tell me, explain this to me.
I don't know if I'm going to explain it, but I'm reading in the NIV, and maybe it's a little clarifying. It says, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Through that. Justify by faith, uncircumcised through that same faith. I don't know. There's something different about the by and the through, though, and I'm interested in what that's all about.
There is. I looked up in this Greek translation thing that I have. I looked to see what that said, and it says the same thing as the King James at all of them. By and through. I mean, it doesn't give me, I couldn't get a, you know.
I have a little bit of a feeling about the difference between those two prepositions. By is, this is the means by which it occurred. Through is like you jump in the river and the river takes you along, you know, it's the route or something. I don't know either. I don't know if that's it, but I have a little bit of that sense of the difference between those two words.
Either way, faith, what's doing both things.
The thing that, when I saw the word through, or when I started that, you know, getting it brought me back to the Hebrews 11.
Right.
And I thought, being that there is talking about an ongoing, faith is an ongoing substance. It's not, well, I have faith to go to church today, you know, or whatever. Or I have, what faith does, faith cancels out the world. And the only way you get the world canceled out is through the Word of God. By listening to the Word replaces the world with eternal life.
I've mentioned this before, but let me do it again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. What's hoped for, what's not yet seen, is stuff off in the future. The substance of the evidence is the here and now. So faith brings whatever is off in the future, it brings it to the here and now, or just as though it were the here and now. It's every bit as real, if you will.
That's good.
As what, you know, what's right in front of you. Be the substance of what's off in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like I have a lot better understanding as of this morning, but it's been a scripture, you know. Going back and forth in my head, you know, and I think I have a better understanding, but you know what, I still don't.
You know, all through Hebrews 11, they go back and forth between by faith, through faith, by faith, without faith, through faith, by faith, through faith. I'm just really wondering what those two words are.
You know what? I would have never worried or thought about it if I hadn't run into Romans 3:30.
Right.
It makes that a real distinction there.
Because it makes a distinction in the Romans. Yeah. Right. The other ones, you just think it's the same thing. By faith, through faith.
It wouldn't have been in the same sentence, or the same verse. It wouldn't have been so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing.
It's funny, I was just about to ask you. You have something about this?
No.
You got no
insight into that.
Yeah. Pablo, do you have any?
No.
Well, Pablo's right. That's faith.
Right, yeah. Faith. Yeah.
And the idea that it's long term.
Yeah,
because, you know, we plug along, we do this, we do that, sometimes we're just all. But other times we just keep doing, and it's because we have this faith, or is it a hope, or whatever, that this other thing is going to happen if we keep on.
The Bible says, and he that endures to the end.
Right.
All right.
And so, even, you know, there's a lot of things connected with that, but it shows that there's an intent, there's a constant something in somebody's life, so that they're not going to give up, they're not going to quit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is the thing that matters, because you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, or if the righteous scarcely be saved.
Just going over, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But doesn't it also, and then doesn't it say faith through Jesus Christ?
pray in that same sentence?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Somewhere.
The contrast. Is it? There's, I'm sure there's somewhere where it says.
Yeah. Well, if you take that and then do this, you know, the circumcised.
Yeah.
All the sacrificing and everything they did, they were doing it by faith that it would do something. But now we, the uncircumcised, have faith through Jesus Christ because he did the work. Yeah, hey, I think that might be
But the sacrifices were all pointing towards and done away with Jesus Christ. You know, it says that the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But after faith has come, we don't need that anymore.
Right.
It's not faith now, because now we have that which they were looking for, which is Jesus Christ would give, and we have faith in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know how we see in James, I just saw that this morning, but how we see in James, where it says, without works of faith, or faith is dead,
right.
Without works. Mm-hmm. And I would just read where it says, that believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God takes care of our works. It takes care of all of our works. I just read it. And it, so it's after that, works is not the issue. The issue is our relationship with him, because we will do what he did. You know what I mean? I don't know how it's worded. I'm thinking that it's somewhere right in the third or fourth chapter of Romans.
I'm going to stick this little thing. Doesn't it say grace and truth came through Jesus Christ?
Mm. Yeah.
So if you receive truth through him, what does that do? It gives you faith.
Yes.
Right?
They're tied together. So
yeah.
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 Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it has a little to do with, like, New Covenant.
The
like she was saying, you know, mm-hmm. I was thinking kind of along those terms too. That
it occurred to me that you know, the faith of Abraham and Noah was in a sense fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That was the thing hoped for.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Faith,
exactly.
You know. Now we take it another step. You know of what. The eventual work of Jesus Christ will be, but I, you know, those are Noah and Abraham are two really excellent models of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Noah
built
that ark. We're all over here, you know, for no very good reason in the here and now. And Abraham went searching. Searching, not knowing what he's searching for, wandering around. I mean, that is also an aspect of faith.
Well, he created the seed that we are.
Yes, amen.
You know, it says,
mm-hmm. yep.
And one seed, you know, not many, but mm-hmm. one seed through, and Jesus Christ made that come about
mm-hmm.
as the one seed,
mm-hmm.
which let us become the seed of Abraham, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you after, Pete?
Huh?
What are you after?
Oh, you know what? Something came to me and I'm trying to bring it back. I'm not doing too good, but it's there. There's something really... it had to do with something that Ken just said, but I lost it. It's not a long ways away.
You know, faith through Christ. You know, a lot of times when we speak about Christ, you know, we speak, you know, he's a man, yes, and you know, he's the Savior and whatever else. But a lot of times, when we need to remember, when we refer to Christ, that he's also the Word of God. You know what I mean? He's the Word. So when we say, you know, faith through Christ,
And Christ is the Word of God. You know what I mean? So, and faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing God's Word. So, you know, and even, you know, a lot of times, it's, I think it's important to remember that Jesus is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how I would say Jesus is the Word of God. Those are my words. You know, the Bible says, you know, He's the Word made flesh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I shouldn't put it in my own words. You know, He's the Word made flesh. What, who were the prophets? I was reading a scripture the other day, and it says, you know, I'm like, what is it? Because I don't know. See, I don't read my, I'm not super familiar with the Old Testament, but it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. What cloud are they, what are they talking about? What cloud? Is it a cloud issue that happened or something?
Yeah.
Well, there was a cloud in the daytime and a fire at night, was it?
That they followed.
When Moses was leading them out of Egypt into the promised land.
Okay.
Or out of Sinai.
Okay, this...
Where are you right now?
1 Corinthians 10, and it starts right at 10. That all our fathers were under the cloud. But this is just with Moses, it appears.
Well, Moses and all the people.
All the tribes went with Moses.
Okay.
So it was all the fathers at the time.
I see.
And they all passed
through the sea. And all passed through the sea. I know that one.
Yeah.
And were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now listen to this, super interesting. And, you know, and were all baptized into Moses and the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And then it says, but with many of them that was not pleased. I want to read under something else. But with many of them that was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in their wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down, ate and drank, and rose up to pray. Neither let us commit fornication, blah, blah, blah. Hold on a second. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. So it says here, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition. So he's talking about Moses, and they were written, and see, you were saying about faith, you know, if they don't listen to Moses, you know, it will come, faith will come through listening to Moses. So these things that happened were written for a benefit as well, you know what I mean, and for an admonition. And I looked up the definition of admonition, and it means... I forgot it. Charlie, what do you mean? For our
chastisement.
For our
discipline.
Saying something, telling you, no, that's wrong.
Right.
You're bad and wrong and saying.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Right.
So anyway.
Get chewed out for being wrong.
Right.
So God made all these things happen.
Yeah.
You know, make sure they were recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, long story short, for our benefit.
Yeah,
right.
You know, but anyway, that's not really what I wanted, was pointing out the most. But it's about they all drink the same drink, spiritual drink, ate the same spiritual food,
drink it.
Yeah, and the drink of the Spirit.
That rock was fresh.
The drink of the Spirit that followed them. You know, and the rock was fresh. I suppose I should read that. You know, I've been just bringing it up. But it's just interesting that he says, you know, that, you know, that rock was Christ, or whatever that means.
Yeah.
And,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is, I suppose, a type of communion. Eat my, eat the bread, my body, drink the wine, my blood.
Mm-hmm.
They were nourished by manna, and nourished by the water from that rock. That, you know, they also struck the rock, did it twice, should have done it just once, but anyway, that, I think the suggestion being, if he had struck the rock once, that would have signified Jesus' soul sacrifice. There was just one sacrifice necessary, his crucifixion. And that was somehow the source for the water that they needed when they were up there in the desert. Did it twice and
ran out of
tape or something. Right, but
using spirits in there, in the context. And so I think it's the same spirit that took them through that and signified to them is the same spirit that came with Christ, you know, when he fulfilled what he did. So it's saying they were following after what was to come as the real thing, you know, but it was the same spirit that was provoking all that, you know.
But it says that they were followed by this.
Yeah.
He says,
yeah, after them came Christ.
Yeah, you know, I think it, Pablo, it makes it sound like there's this spiritual rock following along behind him, and I think it's
following
in time
that followed after them. It is weird when that stuff gets worded. But it does say follows after.
In the NIV, it says the rock that accompanied them.
I don't trust that NIV.
I don't. One of the biggest mistakes that we make is trying to understand some things that we can't understand.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And,
you know, yeah, no, but we have to believe him, though.
Yeah.
We have to believe him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't understand them, and I don't care, but we have to believe him.
I personally kind of love believing but not understanding.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's faith.
Well, yes.
That's faith.
That's faith.
Yeah.
It's also fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. That doesn't make any sense in relationship to some of those verses.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The rock that followed the most, you know.
Where was that? God, I didn't write that one down. I ran across a scripture and it said where is it?
Give me a couple of words outside.
For this purpose he was manifested.
Oh, I find it. Yeah.
And speaking of Jesus. So it's like he had a time that he was supposed to be. It wasn't that he was always floating around or whatever. It said God manifested him for this purpose.
For this purpose?
Maybe it's in 1 John?
Here it is.
And it really kind of
Okay.
set it like a time. you know.
First book of John, chapter 3.
That's where.
Epistle John?
Maybe that's it. Yeah, it's in.
First John 3.
8.
What chapter?
3.
Chapter 3, verse 8.
Yeah. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
That's not what I said.
And it gives them a more or less beginning, you know.
First John 3, 8.
Yeah. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil is
of the devil. Oh, it's the second part of the verse.
Right, that's right.
For this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
So, obviously, it was God's doing, not his own.
Right.
You know, which is just kind of goes along with my only begotten Son, whom I sent, who I made, who became, you know.
And because God speaks, always speaks from a timeless frame of, you know, man. As far as he's concerned, there is no time. Time is for us. And so that's why 1,000 years is as one day, and a day is 1,000 years. And it's a timeless thing as far as God is concerned.
I like the 5:1, which I think you've quoted. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him,
right.
Which is kind of a tongue twister.
It is, but
you know, but it's saying that, I think it's the way I saw it, we are also begotten as he was begotten. And thus we love the Father as he loved the Father.
But he told the Jews a number of times that he told them, he says, if you would love him, if you would love God, you would love him that God sent.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was no way that they could recognize him because.
That's what it is saying here. Everyone who loves him who begot, which is God, loves him who is begotten of God, which is Christ.
Right.
Yeah, so, but that could be us.
Yeah, he said that a number of times, you know.
Yeah.
And, but the problem is always, it's always the same. The problem today is the same. It'll be the same with the Mike Murdoch, Betty Yin thing, you know. It's like, I'm right, and you're not. Our organization is right, and yours isn't. I mean, the Jews said the Pharisees are right. I mean, the Pharisees said we're right. And so, and this man's an imposter because he's not fitting our interpretation. We don't have somebody that's a king of some other realm. We're looking for a king right now who will elevate the Jews. Who will elevate the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they said, if we don't do something about him, the Romans are going to come and take away our nation and our positions. The positions were so important that when an angel appears and the people that were there that were watching the tomb and so forth, an angel appears and rolls away the tomb and goes and reports it, they pay him money to tell some other story.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom that. If you see an angel appear, you're not going to go tell people something else. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to say, well, they came and stole them by night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it occurred to me, there's a right and a wrong in all this. The Pharisees would have agreed with Jesus when he said, narrow is the way and few there be that find it. They would agree with that statement. We're just talking about a different pew, that's all.
A different narrow way.
Yeah, or a different, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really fortunate. In 1 John 5, where you were reading in 19 and 20, it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that's true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep yourself from idols.
Yeah.
You know, John really talks about truth a lot more.
Yeah.
You know,
love and truth.
Mm-hmm.
Get away from them.
I accused me of being, you know, trying to prove by words or whatever you want to call it, but I looked in my concordance once, and in the Gospel of John, the word faith only appears one time, and that's when he says, "Don't be faithless, but believe."
Not believing.
All right, but he doesn't talk about faith. All he talks about is true. You know, there in the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a whole bunch of stuff on faith there.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that signifies, but I do believe that faith and truth are in some way related or synonymous or whatever, you know, in some funny way. There's some differences, but, you know, I don't know.
Like John only talk about love in his epistles, or does he talk about that in the Gospels?
I believe, you know, I'm forgetting if there's faith appears in the epistles.
I'm talking about love.
Love, yeah, there's a lot of love, I think, in
the epistles. I want to know if love is in the Gospel of John.
You know, I don't know that
okay,
I'm going
to
learn. Well,
I just thought you would know the answer. I wouldn't have to.
Are you saying the word love or the subject love?
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know, thank you that you love them, as I love them, or some. It's that part of it.
It's just as John, it's Jesus bringing it.
Right.
Right.
John brings it in his epistle.
Right.
Because he was so impacted by it, probably. Being
with Jesus and others. Right.
Well, I happened to read that the first epistle of John this morning, or last night. I couldn't sleep very good, so I think I was up at one reading for a while. Anyway, and you know, it just there's something in there that we just haven't been revealed yet about being free from sin.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's and because I think some of it is by faith that you know that you're not truly a condemned sinner. Because if it says if you have the Spirit of God in you, you are basically, you're saved. You're not a sinner. You won't sin. Well, then of course it says, but if you do sin, then you can't. But it's like, I mean, if you repented every time you sinned, you would never have sin, would you? From that point on, you know what I'm saying? In that presence, you're rid of the sin because it's been forgiven. if you're truly repenting. You know, because then God says, well, I see it no more. You know, the blood covers.
At some point along the line, if sin is so prevalent, you almost make a mockery of the repentance process. I don't know if any of us are at that point, but
right.
You know what I mean.
No, that's true. That can happen.
Yeah.
You know, because it says, I think there is somewhere that says, well, true repentance is of the heart. So if you truly repented, why would you keep doing it? But the problem is,
It's not that you keep doing it. It's like you can't help it.
Yeah, you don't want. But see, if you don't want to keep doing it, that takes that part out of there, because, and why wouldn't you not want to do it? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and maybe it's because we don't see it, because we haven't got there yet.
So I'm not 100% sure what's the part that has to be revealed, or the whole situation.
The whole thing that he's putting across. I should probably read the one part that kind of emphasizes. So let's see. This is a message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, somewhere down here, but whoever teaches her truly, the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know we are in him. I thought it said somewhere else more about sin. Okay. Here we go. It's in chapter 3. Let's see. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested, there it is again, to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. You know, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God, this is the one that does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another.
But if you say that you don't sin, you lie. And
right.
Right.
I said that earlier.
But if you don't want to sin, yet you sin, are you practicing righteousness?
You know, that's tricky.
Very tricky.
I don't know. Just,
we've discussed this before.
Yes, but let me put it this way. But man, I'm way open for correction and whatever. But it's like when you are born again of God, it's not that you don't sin. It's like you're immune to the consequences.
Well,
it's like you know like some
could have said it.
You know, like you know, I don't know, politicians, I don't know who, they all of a sudden are immune to if they do some bad wrong, kind of like, okay, you can still do wrong and you won't get in trouble. Kind of like, isn't, you know, immunity, like when people have immunity in doing wrong,
ambassadors, yeah, okay. I mean, within an embassy.
So I wonder if it's something like this subject that you're reading about. It's like having immunity. It's like, yeah, and they don't sin, you know, and you don't sin, and these people, they don't sin. It's not that you don't sin, you just don't pay the consequences.
Well, in God's eyes, because he has no time, if you have his seed in you, he knows you, of course, knows your heart. So...
Yeah, but you're not saying sin and it gives you a ticket.
Romans 7, Paul says, So what? Because of mercy, I should purposely sin? No, certainly not.
Right, okay.
No.
But you may have something there, Pablo. Immunity from the sense that you are not going to pick up the disease of sin and be a, you know, a cancer.
Yeah.
You could have some.
You're not
going to cancerous.
Become lawlessness.
Right. You're not going to be a cancer victim, a sin victim.
I mean,
that might be.
We
even
say
though
it all the time.
Have some exposure or things that would be.
This is another passage, separate from all this, where all this speaking is. He says, "He who willingly sins, the sacrifice of Christ is worthless." I'm wording it my own way. If you willingly sin, then the blood of Christ is in vain, or something like that.
Right.
He says that.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between willingly, is like, okay, well, so you shall not kill, but I'm going to kill this guy.
Oh, okay. But here's the tricky part. So willingly, huh? So
it's
have you
willingly.
Ever went, been tempted, and gave into it?
Yeah.
That's willingly,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know about Pablo, but I know about me. And that is that I'm real good at kind of looking the other way and go ahead and do it, and then, you know.
Well, if you think about it, everything is willingly. You know,
right.
It's like, how do you not willingly do it?
Right.
Gene is
joking. That's what I was where my thought going is. Yeah. Is it any sense? It means you gave into
right.
temptation,
mm-hmm.
which means, well, but. If you aren't willingly wanting to do it again,
mm-hmm.
because you got this spirit in you that says, I want to be righteous, see, right. then I think it can...
You're letting me off the hook a little easy.
Well,
right.
but you... If
only
if
God
you
really
repent,
knows
you
your
don't
heart.
Repent, you're even off the hook, you know.
I had a list of who I thought was perfect, and you were on it, now I have to set it.
No, because when you said that, I was like, oh boy, because I do it willingly a lot.
Yeah, every time, how about that?
Yeah. Okay. You know, but you know, in some cases of things that I know where I'm weak, I try to start out the day asking the strength of Jesus to not let me do it. Well, so I put that to practice here about a week and a half ago or so, and so far, he's given me the strength.
Oh, good.
But And that's all I'm going to say, because tomorrow, who knows? You know.
Okay, we'll check in with you.
Yeah. But I mean, it's... And you know, in the past, I knew I asked him, and I knew he was there ready, and I just, like you said, I kind of turned my head away and went over here and kind of ignored it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
I've got a theory about all this business. It's just a mess trying to figure out this issue of sin from the New Testament. It's a mess. You know, it's just a mess. And I believe that if you, there, it gets opportunity for a couple of different errors. One is that you are so righteous that you just do not sin. And there are denominations, people who would claim that. No, I am free of sin because I'm a, you know, whatever. And they are lying to themselves because they are not free of sin. But
quick interjection.
Yeah.
Those same people, they are free of sin. However, they're so busy pointing out other people's sin that they can't even see their own.
Yeah, I
in my
there is some ugly process going on there, I think. And then there's that ditch, you know, to be where you're just plain not honest with yourself. You're not honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other ditch where, oh, we have such a God of grace who is going to forgive all my sins that whether I behave correctly or incorrectly, it really doesn't make any difference. You know, where Paul says, do I sin because grace abounds? You know, heaven forbid, you know. Both of those errors are kind of permitted. And, I mean, you can come up with some scriptural justification for that. And neither of those things are right. You know, now we have a fuzzy notion of where we're to be, but we should not be in either of those ditches. Right. That's for sure.
You know, all the, any godly man from the Bible, except Jesus, that speaks of their own character, they always speak of that they're not good.
Right, like Paul.
And so many. Nobody has ever said, hey, I am so good.
Right.
Don't say, hey, I'm so
only
bad.
The Pharisees did that.
Right. I'm godly man. So the thing, what happens when you start listening to the scriptures or know God's word is that now you can tell that you are a bad man, bad person. Before, you couldn't tell. So now what happens? Now, God sent his son to save us from our sins. So at least we have a way out. So, and you know, Paul, you know, he wrote all this stuff, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm trying to do good, I can't. You know, he can't. But, you know, there's Jesus. No, I don't know that I added anything to anything that's been said, but...
You better pop that.
Huh?
I said, you better say something quick. Dying to say something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just one verse here in relationship to what we were talking about. After everything that Paul said about himself in the 7th chapter of Romans, the last verse he says, so then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Right.
And so then he says, there is therefore now no condemnation
right.
to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we are going to fail. And remember the Pharisee that prayed and he said, I thank God I'm not like other men.
Right.
And the publican comes along and he said he couldn't even look up to heaven.
Right.
Well, you know what? That has to be our ongoing
exactly.
approach.
Amen.
No matter how good we think we are. Good. Mm-hmm. We can think we're good and we're not.
Right.
I've had this picture when Paul explains, you know, in 6 and 7 there, or 7, and that, you know, here's his sin and it's hooked to you and you're dragging it along and you're trying, you know, in your mind you want to do, well, finally when you get to 8:1, it's like you take a knife and you just cut the rope, you know, and it's back there still. But it's not dragging you down, because with your spiritual mind, you do not want to sin. It's only your flesh that wants to. And it says, it's always with me.
There's a scripture in...
you're not impeded by it. It might be
right.
There, but you're not impeded by
right.
It.
It's, yeah, it's in, I think it's in the First John, I'm not sure.
Well, you should
not have impeded. I can find it, Harry, but it says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If your heart condemns you, done, you have peace with God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's condemnation. And that's and it might. I wonder sometimes whether it's always the devil, or if it's just misunderstanding on our part. You know.
I think I was just thinking in my own instance. I mean, I've been dealing with this particular area for a long time, and it's like I think it had to go on so long that part of it's kind of like the AA program where you just get so sick and tired of it, you know, that you finally really want to deal with it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it might be. So, and you know, in that process, I've realized it's made me very humble. And I certainly don't want to judge anybody else anymore, because how can I? When I'm walking around with this thing going on in me, how can I be judging somebody else for what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how any of us that are listening to the scriptures can have a bad heart.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, we don't. I don't think there's anybody.
If you want the truth, for one.
We want the truth.
That sets you apart.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one of the bad parts of being human is we're weak.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're weak. And I don't know how you deal with that.
You know, he asked for his strength. That's what I found out.
Oh, that's what Paul said. He said, who's going to deliver me from this? I thank God for Jesus Christ.
Right.
No.
And, remember what Jesus was he told about, they asked you, how many times should I forgive my brother
right.
or whatever? Seven times, and he says,
70
times or whatever else. Now listen, if we are to forgive our brother 70 times.
70 times 7.
Okay. 490.
Isn't that in one day though, also?
Okay. Yeah.
So just keep adding.
If that's the case, and God is greater than we are, how many times will he forgive us?
Yeah.
Every time that you ask for it, isn't that part of this? Is your sin?
Yeah.
Your sin has more weight, and maybe you feel like the mockery of repentance. But if you're acknowledging that it's a sin, that you have that, I don't know, in your heart.
That really doesn't give us license.
No.
I don't know. I don't know that there's anybody here that's looking for license.
No.
I kind of like license.
Give me one.
I got Photoshop.
Well, sometimes
I don't know if I really meant that.
You know,
God
Paul.
Knows if
okay, that's right. So Paul, you know, he's saying, you know, I'm trying to do good, but I can't, basically.
Right.
So, so let's say you're Paul, whatever. So now, maybe not. Anyways, Paul is saying, hey, I try to do good, I can't. And I'm skipping like 1,000 pages. And then he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what's the deal?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's acknowledging that he can't do the good, though.
Right.
I mean, I've got friends that do terrible things, but
right.
they don't care.
Yeah.
But
they tell you like a story, not
apparent.
Like bothering them.
And in his walk, it's apparent that, like, to me, he's about 90%. Perfected.
Well, that, yeah.
Because he was so sold out that I think when you start receiving enough truth, it starts connecting you so close to God that you get so sold out that then you're going like minute by minute, hour by hour,
okay.
I am going to serve him and do this right for him in his strength. Because Paul said, I don't do any of this. It's Christ in me. His power, His strength, that I can do any of this.
You know, I think we are giving Paul more credit than he should have, because I don't really think that there's a big difference, if any, between us and Paul. I think that the only difference, really, the major difference between us and Paul is that God used him. He could have taken any one of us at this point and shared the same things that Paul did, and used us just like he used Paul, and used us to write all these things. But we think that because God used him to do all these great things, that he's better.
Right.
But he's no better than you or me. He's not sold out. You know, you said he's sold out. You know what? You are sold out as well, and I am sold out. I just guys didn't do with me what he's doing with Paul. He's not less of a sinner and not less tempted and not less whatever than us. He just used him, and then maybe he'll use us. And you know what? One day when he uses us to do all these great things, people are going to say, man, this guy is a holy man. You know, no, I just know some things that I can tell you. But that doesn't make me any less of a sinner or better or less tempted or nasty, dirty. You know what I mean?
And then the statement will be said, and that was just irreachable service.
Right. Well, that's what he said.
Yeah.
But the thing was, and it's true, here's where you be careful what you ask for. Because he was given a lot to where, but then he knows because he was given that's why he was driven like he was, you know. So it was just his just due because God gave him these things. So, yeah, that's true. He's no better than the rest of us,
no,
I guess. But I can see that he was, it's like, remember when the Spirit would fell here in the past, and you said it, you didn't have a care for anything else but what was going on with God. Well, how does that happen? You know, all of a sudden, you're not wanting all this worldly stuff. Well, see, he had that experience that put him in that place, but it stayed with him his whole walk. You know? And we've had tastes of that. Not enough, probably, although we have enough of it that we're still here today doing what we're doing.
But
so I guess in a sense, you know.
But that, not caring for things of the world is not required of us. We are not required to not care for things of the world. That's not required.
Oh, yeah. It says so in the Scripture.
Oh, okay. Give me
that you would not give in to the lust of the world?
Oh, yes. The lust of the world. And it explains what the lust of the world are. And it's not what we are after. I mean, Fish and hunt, I don't believe it's a lust of the world. It explains what the lust of the world are. I know. A murder.
I want to fish and hunt more than I want something else.
Well, anything
right, but see, but that,
right,
but
it,
but
it,
what I'm saying,
yeah,
anything.
Right.
But I'm saying it's not required for us to only do godly things all day long. And
your grip should not be real hard on hunting, fishing,
right,
whatever, you know.
Right.
But no, I think it's not as well. But if the Spirit of the Lord comes,
yes,
if Jesus comes,
He will do
drop
it.
Those nets.
Right. Okay. God will do it when the time comes, if necessary.
Yes.
But, I don't want to say you're not required to be sold out. Yeah, you are required to have a godly life and stay on track in the road of God. But you can stop for gas, I suppose, and look at the scenery. You know what I mean? And Paul himself says, so what? So am I supposed to get out of the world? No. I mean, we live in a world. We live here. I have to work, and I have to, you know, deal with things that are not related with God at all. You know, but I don't know. But like this sinless or at this point, yes, when the time comes, if necessary, God will do it like He did in Key. You know what I mean? If that's what He wants. All of a sudden, I'm speaking out of what Keith has said. It's like there was no interest whatsoever in things that he usually was interested. I don't feel any condemnation because of why I do the things that I do.
Still have to live in the world. We got to take care of our children. We have to go to ball games. We've got to go grocery shopping. We have to take our kids to the park. We go swim. We fish. You know. But if any if any of that takes us away from our relationship with the Lord, you know. But like when I'm in the shower, I'm singing and praying. When I'm loading my dishwasher, I'm praying in tongues. When I, you know, with Felicity, I take her to a movie, and for 2 hours in the movie theater, I'm not praying in tongues. I'm watching the movie.
I'm not there either. But here's where my faith, I think, happens. Is I believe there's a day coming when you will be ministering every waking hour.
But I believe
you won't be doing all this other stuff. No. And he'll keep you in what you're doing because it'll be at that time. So where we are now, fine, I know it too, you know. But have the faith to know that you could get to a place where you are 24 hours of the day, you're God.
But
you know.
See, you can't do that.
Oh, no.
Unless God sets it up.
That's right.
But there's a thing where people can be doing that and ignoring their family. They're doing, so it's really not before God, but they're sold out.
Well, that's what some of the world's
for. So they're very, very, very busy, and then their family is getting. Do you know
well,
what I mean?
What I'm thinking, when that happens, your family's probably going to be next to you doing the same thing.
Right. But I'm saying there's some people that have done that. They're not really, you know, like back in the olden days.
They would be able to quote scripture that unless you hate your mother and your father and your brother and your wife and your widow.
But it was, so when you get to that.
Well, I think Walmart's a great place to be preaching at people or the ball field.
That's what I'm saying. It's where you are, you know. The prayer should be like, Lord, bring those people to me, whether I'm pumping gas or, you know, always be ready to give an account for the reason of your joy and your hope. So people see how you live and they're attracted.
It is a scripture.
It is. And I quote it over and over and over so that people are, they're like, hey, why are you so friendly? Instead of me going up to them and saying,
can you read the Bible?
Right.
You know
there's an opposite side to what you're saying. You can go the other way, too. Where your family is more important than everything, than God.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a fine line because, you know, there's a lot of people that's where they're at.
Yeah.
They won't go on because they're afraid of losing
priority.
That is a big thing that God has dealt with me in the last couple of years is I don't want to lose any of my children. But I feel strong enough at this point that if I lose my husband and I lose a child, I won't lose my salvation. Whereas some years ago, and the truest text, can I bet you, is that the one person that I thought would live longer than everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to lose my salvation over my husband or my children when my mother was the most important person on earth to me and she's gone. So now I just desire to be where she is strong enough that if God takes Brittany, or he takes Dominic, or he takes all my children and my husband and my dad in one swoop, it's just another reason for me to keep my eyes focused to be in heaven. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, it is easy to serve your family and be so busy for your family and ignore God or be so consumed, whatever. But I'm... And to work out your own salvation. And I think that God's got me
to say that.
Because
God's got your own salvation.
Done so much in me that I literally lived, you know, I'm 47 now, I literally lived 42 years on the ticket of my parents. of like, well, God took Brian, so he wouldn't take me. So I'll just do, you know what I mean? I literally lived on this thing for many, many, many years, and I'm so glad he didn't. You know? But I am definitely at the point of, I'm going to heaven. So if nobody else does, I'm going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And I'm still far from where I want to be. But God, it's...
You know, for the record, like, personally, like, since I've been, you know, I don't know what, but I feel like I've sinned less. I sin less now than I used to, at least. I'm not saying that I don't sin.
Right.
But I definitely sin a lot less. You know, a lot less in my mind, thoughts in my head. You know.
There's a scripture that I've been wanting to bring up here for the last 15 minutes, but anyway, Paul says, follow me
as
I follow Christ.
Yeah.
Which gives us a picture into Paul. It's like he's not always following Christ properly. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, Christ is the objective, don't...
Right.
Don't focus on me.
Right. The thing about repentance, when we were talking about, and Brittany said, you know, 7 times 70, whatever, you know, daily thing, and it just took me back. I was sharing with somebody last night and saying something about, we were talking about sassy kids or something, and I said, I remember being younger, and not how sassy kids are now about stuff. It was like my mom would tell me to, who knows, clean my bedroom, and then, well, I want to go outside or whatever. And then I would go like this. But I learned to not make the sound, just, and then walk down the hallway. And then my mom would say, and if you roll your eyes, and I would go, how did you do that? She would say, God told me. And I have eyes in the back of my head. And then I would, you know, she would say, and I would say, I'm sorry. And then she would say, I feel it, see it, smell it, you know, sorry. But she says, then you need to apologize, you know, repent, you know. And I remember telling a million times when I was younger, repent, she says. But remember, she says, you have to repent and mean it and not plan to do it again. In so much, it was her thing of constant, you know, to tell me, stop rolling your eyes. Like, if you think you're going to roll your eyes again, this apology doesn't work. You know what I mean? So it's got to be free in your heart of the whatever. And it's just those little things stick with me. And I was talking about that last night with somebody else. And it was like a guilt. So then the next time I would go to roll my eyes, I was like, Christ, the last time I wasn't actually sorry then. You know? But it's a... We can't, she would always tell me, you can't ask for forgiveness if you are not sure in your heart that you won't do it again. That's kind of like a...
Mm-hmm. You know? Help me really mean it.
Right.
Well, we've realized today that you will probably do it again.
Right, probably.
Yeah.
So that's why every time I would say sorry or sorry God, and then rolled my eyes, whatever, I would think, oh.
You know your heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Your right, heart God knows our heart. Brittany mm-hmm. said that before. God knows.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And our own salvation
and
is...
And the heart is deceitful.
Uh-huh.
And so is our flesh.
Yeah.
And it's so easy.
It's deceitful. It deceives us. Mm-hmm. And
But going to the whole key of why we're here, listening to the Word of God starts to make that stony heart...
A heart of flesh.
A heart of flesh, which means pliable. So all of that can be changed mm-hmm. by the Word of God.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
In us.
Yes, amen.
And there's not really a limit. We put a limit on it. I put a limit on it all the time. But with God, nothing's impossible. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to remember those things of faith also. That's part of faith, is knowing that, you know.
And because God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the things in our hearts, even separating the bone from the marrow, it says. Even the intents of the heart. The intents of the heart.
You know, another perspective to this subject. You know, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, you know, keep my word, you know. And it, all this thing, you know, if you base it, you know, on the word, you know. And Jesus does say, and it is an overlooked scripture, it says, and now you are clean or washed, and now you are clean by the words that I have spoken to you. So the healing of God's word, it's like a pressure washer of your flesh, continuously.
That's good. It occurred to me before, there's the scripture where it says, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And that is like a commandment, but it's also a promise, you know?
Yeah.
It means that, hey, this can happen. This can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
You know, see, not continuing in the world is like hiding from God. It's like, I don't want to hear that.
Right.
But if you continue in the word, I mean, it's, you're putting yourself exposed to God.
Sure.
You know, yeah, and when you don't listen to the word of God, then you fall under the law, which is way more harsh.
Right.
And listening to the word of God and having Him softly convict you of things, you know.
Well, there's probably a reason why your body, your physical body, stays here. That a lot of what God says in the Bible, He's speaking to your soul. That's the part that needs to be of, you know, good heart, good intentions, and stuff like that. My flesh will fail me, and my flesh will stay here, and my soul and my heart—that is the piece that will carry on. That's the piece that I want perfect and daily pressure washed by God, no matter what happens with my body.
You know, John says, don't love the world. You know what I mean? And in the first verse, don't love the world. So all this, when we give in to to sin willingly, which we always do, it's not that we don't love to do the sin more than other things. He says, do you love truth? Do you have a love for the truth? The love for the truth was given to us that we might be saved.
Right.
You know what I mean? So do you love truth less than you love whatever is it that causes you to sin? I don't think so. You know what I mean? Do you love? So the love for the truth has been given to you. You know,
and it's gaining momentum with us. I can feel it in all of us. Yeah, I don't want my truth.
No,
right.
I want God's truth,
mm-hmm.
and it's gaining on me. And see, I've never been able to make the separation. And a lot of, you know, like some of you that I talked about earlier, that they're still holding on to the blessing pact thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to prove that that's the truth. It's not. And Jesus did not preach it.
No. It's so twisted in the scriptures to fit, you know.
Well, everybody does it.
Yeah.
Until they develop the 2 Thessalonians 2:10 love for God's truth.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and I wondered about that scripture in John 17:17 where Jesus is praying. He says, Father, sanctify them through your truth. There's the word through again. You know, sanctify them through your truth. I thought, well, what other kind of truth are there? There isn't any truth except God's truth. Otherwise, it's man's rendition of truth, or what he thinks is truth. That doesn't make it truth.
Come back to the church.
Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was going to just give a little finish up.
Sure.
So, Lord, in all this that we have discussed and shared today, Lord, what's obvious is we need more revelation.
Yes, amen.
And we need more truth.
Yes.
But we are so thankful because we couldn't even have this conversation before.
Mm-hmm.
We're so grateful that you have given the truth that you have given, and we look forward to more of it coming. And Lord, you will make these areas more clear to us as the days come.
Yes.
Because that's a promise.
Mm-hmm.
It says you will lead us into all truth.
That's right.
So Lord, we just thank you. We look forward to that. Give us the faith for that, Lord. For
yes.
some of this faith
yes.
isn't just, it's a gift of God. Mm-hmm. Which
yes.
comes through the hearing
mm-hmm.
of the word, but it is a gift from you, Lord.
Yes.
So we thank you, thank
yes.
you, and we hope that any of those listening that you've been, you know, awakened to things, and you probably have 100 questions, put them before the Lord, not before man.
Yes, amen.
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 Yeah. It is a mystery, but mysteries are supposed to be solved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Quarter after.